Good morning. Let my people go that they may worship me in the wilderness. You are worshiping this morning. Give the Lord one more praise, would you? It's so great to have my parents back, Ben and Aaron, Chuck and Cheryl, many. Those of you that are at home this morning, quarantined or not feeling the best, we miss you. And I pray that we're all back together really soon. John chapter 11 is a very familiar portion of Scripture that there's this exchange between Mary, Martha, and Jesus. And they begin to say, you got to come home and you got to take care of our brother Lazarus. You know the story. And Jesus starts down this road and he begins to teach as only he can and begins to give these truth bombs in the midst of it. And just a couple thoughts as I introduce my dad this morning, just a couple thoughts that his schedule isn't our schedule necessarily. And we don't know what we need. He knows what we need. And there's this exchange, and Jesus says, the Scripture says that he wasn't far, and the Scripture goes on to say that he kind of could have made the trek over, but he says, I'll go there when I'm ready to go there. And isn't that the way love is sometimes, that we don't really know what we need when we need it, but he knows what we need when we need it. And he gets into this dialogue, and he's teaching, and he's loving. And another thought I had was, the people in the story, again, the people in the story can't see the story, but we can read the story, and we can see the people in the story like they can't. And Jesus is having this dialogue because he knows. Like we're watching the story, like we're reading the story, he knows. And he's telling these people, he's saying, chill out. I'm going to work it for my good. I'm going to use it for my glory. And I felt to say that to someone in this place this morning. And my wife during worship, she just leaned over to me and said, I felt this in my spirit. And it immediately struck me again. And I want to speak this over someone's life. It seems like it's going to kill you. It seems like it's going to destroy you and rip you apart. But really what's happening is God's not hurting you. He's helping you. He's working it for your good. And that's what he does in this story. He brings it all the way back around in John chapter 11. He brings it all the way back around. And he says something at the end of it. He says, this was meant for the glory of God. The thing you're facing today, would you pause just a second and ask yourself, is he working it for his glory? We know that all things work together for the good of them that love him and are called according to his purposes. Make sure you're in his purposes. Make sure you're in his plan. Make sure you're obedient to the word of the Lord, listening to him, not to yourself. This morning, my last thought of the morning, Jesus is leading with love through this whole story. You know what he says? I love what he says. He says these words. The scripture says that he loved them. He loved Martha. He loved Mary. This wasn't their first interaction, if you may. They had a relationship. Jesus loved these people. And if I could say anything about my dad, and I said at the first service, and he came up here and said, well, I haven't done the greatest at it, but I'm telling you that I've watched him as a son from the outside looking in. I wasn't in the story. I was watching the story. And I've seen for years and years this interaction of, it's tough sometimes to interact. And my dad, one thing he's notorious for over and over, say notorious. He's notorious for over and over and over again is loving people. Would you welcome someone who's notorious to love? Would you welcome my dad?
Thank you all. So good to see you. God bless you. Let's give the Lord Jesus a big hand of praise. Man, these guys, they're something. You know, I'm away, and I'm seeing things I've not seen before. I mean, I saw, well, you were here. You got that, Paul, Ryan, Okay, that's good. Let's see, they even want to play. Keep on playing it up in the cell. Come on. It's not like that's enough, though. I mean, it continues on with Thursday night. I can't do that. But what I can do is... That's it. That's all I got. Yeah, I think I know my place, and I know what I can do. So, and speaking about Valentine's Day and Aaron saying it's the cheesiest day, I have some pickup lines. If you're single and you're in need, get your pen out, write this down. Here's one. This is... guy, you're meeting a woman. I have no women to men pickup line. Sorry. This is one. I know why Solomon had 700 wives, because he never met you. I like that. You're so much better than the first service. Here's one. How would you like to join my purpose-driven life? Unfortunately, I can't perform miracles. I've only got enough bread and fish for two people. I like that. So last night I was reading in the book of Numbers, and then I realized I don't have yours. Hey, I got more. Hey, my name is Will. God's will for your life. And my favorite, I think. Is it hot in here, or is that just the Holy Spirit burning inside of you? I like that. That's all I got. That's all I got. Amen. A big thank you to Pastor Ryan, Pastor Aaron. You know, they talked about being alone. There was a couple weeks there where I was alone. It was Ryan that was down, and then boom, hit out of nowhere. Aaron was down, and I'm just so grateful that we're all here and strong and ready to just to do great and mighty things for God. Don't you appreciate them being in God's house? I wanted to just take a moment. I wanted to put that picture up, if you would, Paulie, of Harriet Tubman. I just wanted to recognize somebody as we just think about and reflect on Black History Month. Born as an enslaved woman named Araminta Ross, she took the name Harriet when in 1849 she escaped a plantation in Maryland with two of her brothers. She returned a couple of weeks later, but left again shortly after, making her way to Pennsylvania. Tubman returned to the plantation on several occasions to rescue family members and others. On her third trip, she tried to rescue her husband, and he remarried and refused to leave with her. Distraught, Tubman reported a vision of God, after which she joined the Underground Railroad and began guiding other escaped slaves, taking them to Canada, making some 13 missions to rescue approximately 70 enslaved people, including family and friends, using the network of anti-slavery activists and safe houses known as the Underground Railroad. Harriet Tubman was born enslaved in Dorchester County, Maryland, and died in Auburn, New York, at the age of 93 years old. It's an incredible story. Amen. And I want to encourage all of you, look her up. Read, that's just a little tidbit about the history of her. But let's be educated, and let's use not only this season, but continuing on to honor those who have gone before us. I want to encourage all of you as well to make sure that you're a part of a group and start this week. This is a great week. There's some incredible groups that are going on almost every day of the week, and they're all on Zoom, and you can do that. And even if you say, well, I just don't like Zoom, get over it. Learn how to do it, because there's many groups that have really developed family in those Zoom groups. It's really great. And then use today to show some love. I don't care whether you're married, single, whoever you are. Show some kindness. Show some love. Do some extra today. We've got hugs and kisses for you today. We want to give every one of you a hug and a kiss. Not literal. We have chocolate candy in the back on the way out. Amen. How many chocolate lovers do I have in the house today? How many people here, you're chocolate lovers, and when you see that platter of candy, you're going to try to shove as much in your pocket as you can before you leave? Well, my grandson Andrew's first hand up in the air. Jim Booty's got both his hands up in the air. Watch that platter up there, boys. I had those guys raise their hands so you could mark them today. I want to talk to you just for a few minutes today, and then we're going to share communion together about just living to love. And Ryan's comments are so kind, but as I said in the first service, I haven't always been good at that. If you were to talk to my wife, she would tell you that there were some times when I was very upset, hurt, disappointed, and I've always tried to be that person, because I know that if you have not love, you don't have anything. I don't care how many gifts, talents, I don't care how much money you got. If you don't have love, Paul said you're just like clanging cymbals. You're like a noisemaker. We are called to be people that love. And love doesn't always come packaged in the way that is comfortable for you. Sometimes you're going to have to go beyond what you're feeling at the very moment. I mean, my wife and I were away a little over a week ago now, and why the night before we leave, I get a call from somebody that lives about 3 hours away from where we were going to be, and everybody's been asking me, were you near a beach? The answer is yes, I was. And so I get this call from a family member, and I haven't talked to this individual that they're concerned about in 8 years. They kind of just walked out of my life. They said, you're the only person that they'll listen to. And I'm thinking, and they said, can you come sometime? We'll pay your way. I'm thinking, I'm going to be 3 hours. I'm saying, Lord, but I'm on vacation with my blonde. And the whole time, I'm just feeling the Holy Spirit. Just, yeah, but love. So I did what every great preacher would do. I rented a car while I'm on my vacation, and I drove 3 hours to show God's love. And you want to know something? After I did that, the remaining of my time was 100 times better than if I tried to be selfish and keep everything to myself. Come on. God is working in some of you even right now while I'm saying that. He's pushing you to love somebody that has been harmful, disrespectful. They've come right out and hurt you, said things about you, to you, over you. And God wants you to lay all that aside. I'm not saying that, you know, you're going to cuddle up with them and have hot cocoa and eat peanuts together or anything. I'm not telling you that. But I'm telling you, what God wants to do in your heart is beyond anything you can do in your own strength. And he takes these moments and he works in you and I. I started reading a new book called The Law of Recognition. This is just so powerful. And one of the statements that is in the book says that everything you need or want may be in your life. All we have to do is recognize it. I want you to just think about that just for a minute. Everything you need or want may be already in your life. All you have to do is recognize it. And then he goes on to say, because whatever is unrecognized becomes uncelebrated. And anything that is uncelebrated becomes unrewarded. And whatever is unrewarded eventually exits your life. Hear that now. That is so important. Husbands, wives, my wife tells me every year, I don't want nothing for this, or don't do anything for that. You've done this for me. You've done that for me. I don't necessarily celebrate her because she wants it. I celebrate her because I want her to know I celebrate her. And it's good for you and I to celebrate others in our lives. Sometimes in our own family and in our own homes, because of familiarity, we lose that ability to celebrate those who are around us and are close to us. And I've heard it said before that we become like what we love. Think about that just for a minute. Through the choices and decisions that we invest in every day of our lives. Revelation 2:4, he says to the church of Ephesus, you have left your first love. Very important to know. He didn't say you've lost it. He said you left it. Because if he used the phrase and the words that you lost it, it would be like you walking along and, you know, by accident, you lost your wallet or you lost your keys and they just fell out of their pocket. That's not what the scripture says. The Bible says you left it. You make a decision to leave it. You move away from the love that God has for you and wants to work through your life. We leave our passion. We left a commitment to him. Maybe we left the desire to do his will, or we left the desire of praying and hungry for the things of God. And we have to have these in our lives so that we will love as he has called us to love. And again, I'm going to tell you something. It's not just a pill that you take and you're like, oh, now I just love everybody. And it's not reading your Bible today and not reading it next week and you're like, oh, now I'm just going to love everybody this week. But next week, that's another story. Love is something that works in your heart every single day of your life. And I want to be in that place every day of my life. The Bible says in 1 John 4:19, we love because he first loved us. I tell people all the time, you know, I get on camera or I do a Facebook video and I tell people I love them. And they say, how can you tell people that you don't know you love them? I love, the Bible says, because he first loved me. I know what it's like to be loved when I'm unlovable. I don't know if you're like that or not, but I've been in a place where I've been very unlovable and the love of God still is shed abroad in my heart. I love because he loved me. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 16:14, to do everything with love. Not with a selfish motive, not with selfish ambition, but love is love. Real love, the agape love, is giving something away and expecting nothing in return. Jesus says it this way in John chapter 15 and verse 12, love each other in the same way I have loved you. That's quite a statement right there. And the Christian life is fleshed out not only in the love we have for God, listen to this, but the love that we have for one another. Did you just hear what I said? People say, I love God. James says, you can't say you love God and hate your brother. You can't do that. It's not both ways. You love God, you love others. And the life that God wants us to live is really built about loving God and loving others. I love that. And we are loved and we learn to love when we love the way he has created us to love. And this is a purposeful decision that your life must come to. That is why we become what we love. And the more I love God, the more I'm going to love others, despite what happens, despite what comes my way. If I love Jesus more than anything, my life becomes transformed into the image of Christ. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, or any other created thing can separate me from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus our Lord. Romans chapter 8. Paul said, I've been crucified with Christ. Galatians 2:10. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ who liveth in me. For the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me. And he loved me so much, he gave his life for me. And he gives it for you and I. So how can we love? Let me give you just a couple thoughts and we'll close and share communion. You got to learn to love through your words. This is where it starts, my brothers and sisters. Proverbs 18:21, the tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Ephesians 4:29, Paul says, don't let any unwholesome word proceed out of your mouth. Come on, my brothers and my sisters. Did you read that? Did you hear that? Let no unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for the building up of others according to their needs, that it may benefit those that listen. Your words. Husbands, wives, the words. We're sitting in a restaurant the other day. A lady comes up to us. Pastor Ryan. She starts crying. I love how you talk about your wife, Samantha. He didn't even never met her before in his life. She's been watching online. I've got to get better talking to my husband. And Ryan's over there eating away. He's like, okay, I just wanted to have lunch right now, but this is a moment. It's our words. They're so important. And even when you don't like what's happening, when you respond with words of love, you change the circumstance that you're in. Come on, that's good right there. You should amen me better than you're doing. You have to, when you speak words of life, you give life. Husbands, that can I just meddle just for a minute? Come on. Quit telling other women how much and how good they look. Begin to tell your wife how good she looks. When I begin to tell my wife looks better. Now, we've been married 43 years. I'm telling you, she looks better to me now than the day I walked down the aisle with her. Not that she looked bad then. Now, though, when I see her, my heart takes a bump. It plays that song that you guys played when I first walked up here, whatever that is. Show that love. Take that moment to do that. Learn to use your words as instruments to communicate love. It's how we see others and how ourselves. John chapter 8, verse 4, the Bible says that the religious people brought a woman caught in the act of adultery. Boy, that's pretty rough circumstances. They wanted to catch Jesus. He said in verse 4, this woman's been caught in the act of adultery. Verse 5, now in the law of Moses commanded us to stone such a woman. What do you say? They're like trying to put him in a spot. If you say don't stone her, you're going against what Moses said. If you say to stone her, you're going against what you've been preaching. The Bible says that he got down and he began to write in the sand and the dirt on the ground. The Bible says one by one, they begin to walk away. Theologians have all kinds of understanding of what he might have written. But the reality of it is he put truth down, whatever it was. And then the scripture says in the King James, he acted as though he didn't even see or hear them. This is a powerful lesson. That when you criticize or you're judgmental or you're harsh or you're mean to other people, that Jesus doesn't even pay attention. Wonder why prayers aren't answered? I can't think of where the scripture is now, but the Bible says when a man fights with his wife, that his prayers aren't even answered. It's a great illustration. God's not pleased when we're focused on the wrong things in other people's lives. And we shouldn't waste a moment on him. He gets done with that. He looks at the woman. He says, "Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?" And she says in verse 11, "No one, sir," she said. He said, "Neither do I condemn you." Jesus said, "Go now and leave your life of sin." He confronted the wrong in those who were condemning, but he accomplished something more in this woman's life at that moment. That instead of her living under the canopy of guilt and shame of what had happened, Jesus says this in verse 12. He said, "I'm the light of the world. Whoever follows me never walks in darkness, but will have the light of life." He says, even though those people have left you right now, and this is something that we all need to understand, you may have that situation going on in your life, and just because they're off out of your life for this moment right now does not mean that they won't come back and try to assault or hurt you or say something negative. And the onus is not necessarily as much on them as it is on you and how much you allow it to affect you. Jesus said, "He's the light of the world. Walk in the light, and you'll live in the blessing of God." And then we got to learn to clothe ourselves with it. Colossians 3, verse 12, 13, and 14. Paul said, "As God's chosen people, holy, dearly loved, clothe yourself," look at what he's saying, "with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience." He says, "Bear with each other, forgive one another. If anyone has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord has forgiven you." And then this is what he comes. He said, all of this, he says in verse 14, "And over all of these virtues, beyond any of it, put on love." Slip it on. You can love today and hate tomorrow, and I don't care what your cause is. I'm just going to let that hang in the air just a moment. You cannot love today and hate tomorrow. And for my pastor friends that want to use the pulpit as a place to communicate your personal views of hate towards individuals, you're wrong. You're wrong. We are to love. We are over everything. You are to put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Because love is intentional. It's not because I have to. Listen to me. It's a decision that I make that when I sow it, I receive it. When you, whatsoever man, what? Sows, that shall he what? Come on, Bible scholars. You can't sow hatred and bitterness. And I don't care what it's about. You can't do it. Get off of that ship and get on to the love boat. I don't even have that in my notes. It just flowed in there. It's all that business that Aaron brings up here. That's where it comes. 1 John 3:18, "Dear children, let us not love with words or tongue, but love with action and truth." Love. Caring for people. Galatians 5:13, "Brothers, you were called to be free, but don't use your freedom to indulge in sinful nature. Rather, use your freedom to serve one another in love." And I just want to stop here and just say thank you to everybody that's been working hard on every Wednesday to hand out food to people that you don't know, that maybe you've never met, that maybe have even gotten upset at you, and you put the box in their car and they were grumbling. You were a Jesus person. You serve with love. Come on today. And then lastly, and it goes right along with what Pastor Ryan had said in John chapter 11. Just because you go through conflict with someone does not mean that you need to stop loving. In fact, you're going to, I hate to bring this to you today. You will face challenges, conflicts, and opposition in life and work, in your home, in your marriage. Whew. You don't stay married 43 years and not have some conflict in your home. Yeah. Ushers, take care of that person over there, will you? Somebody said, you know, told us the scripture when we were young, don't let the sun go down on your wrath. Don't go to bed angry. So we just stayed up and fought all night. Conflict will create a depth of love. Listen to what Jesus said in Luke 17:1. He said to the disciples, it's impossible that no offenses should come. What's he saying? You're going to be offended. But what you do in that moment with the offense will determine your destiny. Listen to me. God will use offense in your life to do great things in your life. Sometimes it takes the worst things done to you to cause you to go to the greatest things God has for you. Come on, is anybody here? Do you know what I'm saying? And we have to know that there are heights you will never reach until you get through the test of being offended and loving the person in spite of it. I read this story. I thought it was so funny. I've never known this before. In New Zealand, it is the home to more flightless birds than anywhere else in the world. 43% of all the birds in New Zealand don't fly. They can't fly because their wings have never been developed or they're way underdeveloped. Oh, look at them poor, sappy little birds with no wings on them. It's just sad. That's all it is. Do you know why the reason that they are underdeveloped? Is because there are no predators on the island. There are no snakes. There are no foxes. There are no wolves. There are nothing to chase them, to make them fly to higher heights. And because there are no predators, there is no need to fly. And because there is no need to fly, there's no development of what they are really born to have. And because they don't fly, they lose the ability to fly. Because it takes a predator to create the wings that have the ability to take you higher. And this is where the moment comes and you and I have to make the decision. You can choose to love or you can choose to stay in the barnyard with the wingless birds or the pecking little chickens that are just ducking around in the barnyard. You can make that choice. And when you are offended or when you go through conflict or when somebody just comes and jacks you up, you have a choice to make right then. I'm going to let that affect me and I'm going to live like a little wingless bird. I hope you never forget that illustration. Or you can deal with it and allow God to help you and become like the eagle. Because the eagle, they love the storm. They get excited when they see the storm clouds gather. They know that although it brings a challenge, they know the storm winds will lift them to higher heights than they have ever been before. Come on today. Above the clouds. Above the wind and the rain and the turmoil. The storm, instead of them staying wingless on the ground, they face it and they just say, if God be for us, who can be against us? He is the strength of my life. 1,000 shall fall on my right, 10,000 on my left. It shall not come nigh my dwelling place. God has only got good. So the lesson here is don't let the conflict, don't let the challenge, don't let the disappointment, don't let the pain, don't let all of the stuff in your life keep you lower. Let God use it to lift you higher than you have ever been. Let him take the storms of your life and cause you to love, to accept, to forgive, to be the Christ man, the Christ woman like you never thought you could be in your life. Come on today. Give him praise in his house today. Who's ever going to play the keyboard? Come on up. Honey, bring the elements. If you did not get a communion cup on your way in, would you just put your hand up in the air and one of the gentlemen, they'll bring one over to you. You got to put it up real high and wave it. Anybody on this side? All the way down in the front here. All the way down in the front here, boys. Anybody in the middle? Wave your hand real big and high. Oh, Pamela, I love you. I got 4 extra minutes. I got to tell you the story about Pamela. I'm in the parking lot last week, and this guy is out there, and he yells out to me, "Pastor Marty?" And I had no idea who he was, and I went over. And he started telling me, and after a while, I understood who he was, and he said, "Is Miss Wentworth still come to church?" I said, "Yes, she does." He said, "I remember when she took me to your house to church when I was in first or second grade." He said, "Will you tell her I really love her?" Thank you, Jesus. That's love. That's love. Take the bread. God, we thank you for your sacrifice and how you love us to help us to love others. Oh, God, work in every one of our hearts today, I pray. Jesus took bread in the night in which he was betrayed. He broke it. He blessed it. He gave thanks. He said, "This is my body, which has been broken for you. Take it, eat it, every one of you, and remember what I've done." Let's partake of the bread together. Thank you, Lord. In the same way he took the cup, said, "This is my blood," the New Testament, "is poured out for many. It's a remission of our sin." Oh, thank you, God. He said, "When you drink this, remember what I have done for you." Lord, we thank you for the cup, the blood of the Lord Jesus. Let's drink together. Spirit of the living God, thank you for your presence here today. Thank you for touching us. Thank you for arranging our emotions today and adjusting our mindsets. Now have your way in our lives. I pray favor and strength and hope over every life today. I pray the Lord bless you and keep you. I pray the Lord to make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. I pray the Lord grant you his peace. In Jesus' name I pray. And everyone said amen. I love you. God bless you so much. Go in his love and in his grace today. We love you. We thank God for you.